We are glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
The worst thing about being a zombie is that you'd be dead. or that you would have no connection to your former life. Everybody's a victim at that point.
Losing all the relationships with my friends and family, because you don't want to be friends with somebody who wants to eat you.
The worst thing about being a zombie is being dead but still having to move a lot.
The worst thing about being a zombie is you have to eat other people.
They're all the same, you know. It's just they're lifeless, they're dead, and they're, you know, making all the sounds, you know. There's no personality. They're all the same. You see one zombie, you see
the absolute worst thing about being a zombie is you wouldn't be able to vote in the upcoming elections.
The worst thing about being a zombie is just having your arms and your legs fall off.
I don't know. Zombies are kind of cool in a way.
Zombies are cool?
In a way? Yeah, they got the zombie strut on. That's what I like. It's like a slow roll, really? Gangster roll, man. This is the zombie strut.
Hopelessness.
No one likes you and everybody's running from you, and that all you wanted to do was bite them.
I would like you to consider the fact today that just because someone is moving doesn't necessarily mean they're alive. All right? And not in a creepy way like a puppet in a zombie way. We're saying that if a person is moving, they're not necessarily alive. And we see this with zombies. There's a television show based on a comic book called The Walking Dead. It's very popular right now with Austin Corley. The Walking Dead is brilliantly named because of the fact that there is so much duality in the name of this. The people in zombie productions are going to die, right? We know that usually they don't end up that well. And even if they end up well, it's not like it's a sunshiny flowers, let's do it into a movie. It's not usually that good. And yet, these people that are doomed are walking around until they die. Kind of like the zombies, walking around aimlessly. The survivors are surrounded by these dead creatures walking, and in a weird metaphorical way, the walking dead also applies to the people who live through the narrative because they're dead emotionally on the inside because of the things that they've witnessed and had to survive. So, man, think of zombies. They're walking dead. They're dead. The hopelessness, the inevitability, the fact that you're dead is kind of heavy, right? I mean, if we're going to be real about it and we were going to drop all the pretension, we're all kind of going to die one day. I mean, surveys show 100 out of 100 people die. But seriously, though, it's kind of it's a damning, frightening thing, the inevitableness that we're going to die. So we look at these people being chased by zombies, and we fear for them. We pity for them. If you're with the right person, they might go, "Don't go in there!" Or "Don't pick that up! Get the fire extinguisher! It's heavier!" You might have someone with you that is in that state of mind, but man, you don't necessarily need to fear for people on videos and in movie theaters on the screen. You need to fear for everybody, because we're not all that safe ourselves. Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." It says fall. Fall is a present tense verb. We've all sinned and we fall short. So we fall short all the time. That means that even though I have a microphone and I talk louder than you, I'm falling short constantly. That means that you are falling short. We all fall short of the glory of God. And man, we're a part of all people. Little inside pool here, little secret. If you are alive, you have sinned. Okay? That's true. If you're alive, you've sinned. And thank goodness we're not going to have a stoning after this where we kill you for it. Not only have you sinned, but it says that you fall short, like I said, continually. You might very well be a zombie. All right? Pastor Robert, he helped us to identify what zombies look like in the first week of our series. And Pastor Marshall, he helped us to talk about survival tactics, and it wasn't as much about knives as you would think. But we talked about all those things, but I'm here for a very different purpose, and I'm not going to spoil it until we get there. Can you imagine a disease that takes over a world seemingly overnight? Think about it. We go and pay money to watch things like Contagion and be terrified. And we do these things that are really frightening. And there is a disease that no one is safe from. This disease will end up killing everyone, and there is such a disease. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is a disease, and that disease is sin. A while back, man, I heard a great sermon, and they talked about sin and how sin came into the world. We all know about the apple or the fruit, if you want to be more liturgical about it. There was the fruit, there was the thing that God said, don't do this. And the first man and woman couldn't even figure it out. And they were like, let's do it. I mean, what's going to happen? We'll be like God. It didn't work out so good for them. So that happened. Then we see Cain and Abel and two brothers, and there's murder. So we go from don't eat a fruit to, hey, I don't really like the fact that that guy gets favor. I'm going to kill him. Things get kind of crazy, right? And so then we get all the way down to the story of Noah, which everybody's like, oh, there's an ark and all the animals were on it. But nobody considers the fact very often that the reason the world was flooded because of the fact that everyone had only evil in their hearts and in their actions all the time. That's what it says in the Bible. Everyone only did evil all the time. If I tried to only do evil all the time, it would be hard. First, I would get arrested very quickly. And at some point, I would probably get killed by somebody because if I got arrested and went to jail and just kept doing evil, then it's not a very good way to live. But these people were wiling out and just going crazy. And God said, I can't do anything with this. I have to wipe the earth clean. And thank goodness Noah was around, or it might have been not a very good planet for human beings. So this disease, this sin, just snowballs and snowballs and snowballs, and it just gets terrible. And we look at this, and man, this is the disease that's getting us. It's an epidemic, and we're all dead in our trespasses and our sin, as it says in Ephesians 2. The definition of sin, if you were to go look it up on the internet or in a various and sundry book, the definition of sin is any act regarded as such a transgression, especially a willful or deliberate violation of some religious or moral principle. Side note, any reprehensible or regrettable action, behavior, lapse, or a great fault or offense. That's what it says in sin. I'm going to give you a little bit abbreviated version of sin, a nice definition for you. Sin is any wrongdoings that you pile up between you and God. People look at sin as a noose that's sitting there, and they're like, I'm going to put it on my neck. And that's, I mean, there is a very real part to that. But ultimately, sin are things that you choose over your relationship with God. Sin that we're discussing, this sin that we all have a piece of, this sin is the disease. It's the affliction of mankind that comes from free will. Everyone loves free will, right? We're like, yeah, I got free will. I can choose to do things. But if you can choose what you want to do, you can choose to do the wrong thing. You can choose to sin. When we choose sin, the Bible says the wages we pay for that sin is death. So we take sin and we complete the work of our hands and we turn it in. And there's no paycheck. There's death. The sin that we commit kills us. When we sin, we are actively receiving that death. Getting heavy, right? A little heavy in the... we are actively receiving that death, and sin is the disease that actively is killing us. And the trick is, it's not just physically killing us, it's spiritually killing us, right? We look at this, and you see a zombie, right? If you get bit by a zombie, it's probably going to hurt. There's probably going to... You know what I'm saying? It's not good. It hurts when you get bit by a zombie. But that bite, the trauma, the physical damage that's done by that bite is nothing compared to what happens a certain amount of time later. Because pretty soon you're doing those kind of thing. And you have no control of yourself. And things just get a little bit crazy. It's no good. good people, when they become zombies, go on to do utterly repulsive things. There's whole genres and movies made out of the terrible things that they do. While they're afflicted with the disease, the infected person acts entirely on impulse and desires to feed the death that's inside of themselves with the life that's out in the world. They're just craving it and going after it. And that can get real sticky because of the fact that, man, if you're a zombie and you're out of it, I mean, you're dead on the inside, you could eat your kid. That's messed up. It's no good. If you're a zombie, you could walk around for days and never do anything, just be dead walking around. If you're a zombie, I don't even need to paint the picture further than that. It's bad, okay? It's no good. You can do these repulsive things. And even though a zombie, even if you were a zombie, you'd be dead, you'd still be moving, but you'd be rotting, right? The zombie no longer runs on life, but it runs on the disease. And when I say this to you, you're like, wow, that's no good. But man, it's a little more human than you think. A little more human. When we first taste sin, when we first get that little bit of sin, right? We go after that first high, that whatever. It may be mildly unpleasant, right? Might not be your favorite thing. It might feel really great and be awesome and be like, wow, why didn't I do that a million times? I mean, everybody says it's bad, but it's not that bad. I mean, look. Or even you could sin and not feel anything. Hey, Scott, did you go do this? No, I didn't do that. Lie. Easy. On our way out, no big deal, right? But man, that sin, that initial bite is nothing compared to the after effects of a life that is inflicted with the disease. That slippery slope of sin that you just fall down, it's no good. Man, when you are infected with the disease of sin, you can do utterly repulsive things, right? Man. These lives, this gift that God's given us in breath and air and feelings and emotion and thought is gone because all we're trying to feed is the death that's inside of us. We're doing things that we would never believe, and we can prey on our children. We can forsake those we love. We can do all these crazy things. And it sounds like I'm just heading right down addiction, but I'm not just heading right down addiction. There are other things. Sin has all kinds of shapes and colors. Everything, when you are afflicted with the disease of sin, becomes about self and impulse. Sin causes parents to eat up their kids, or even worse, to leave them alone. Spouses eat up their spouses and prey on each other. Abuse, addiction, hatred, and other manifestations of sin allow people who love each other to feed on each other. To feed the death that they've brought into their life with the lives of those around them. Even though the sinful person may seem fine, I mean, usually they're really fun. They're usually really amusing. Trust me, I've done that. Watch the testimony video from the first week. Even though they seem like they're fine, they are rotting from the inside out. They're no longer in control. There's no brain or heart behind the actions. All that controls them is the sin. They're living off the disease. And man, when we look at a zombie, we see this thing, undead thing, walking around, eating people and causing all kinds of mayhem. There's only one way to help a zombie, right? You kill him. Usually with blunt trauma to the brain. You kill a zombie, you have to kill him to get rid of him. It's a mercy thing. It's like, ugh. What if they can feel that? Let's take them out, right? And Christian people have had that thought too when they see someone afflicted with the disease of sin. The Pharisees, they caught a woman in sin in the New Testament and they decided to help her and they decided to stone her. They were going to kill her because the sin was so bad that they needed to get rid of it. And the worst thing about sin, the worst thing about this disease is that it's kind of invisible, right? Just like I don't see somebody cough and then I go, look at that green cloud, let's stay away. I think it's probably the cold virus. You know what I mean? It's not like that. You're just hanging out and one of your cute, adorable 3-year-old children goes, hey, Dad, and you're donezo. It's no good. The disease is not that easy to see all the time. Sometimes it comes at you and the initial prick gets into you and then you're done because of the fact that you're addicted. Sometimes it wears you down. It's like laying siege to something. All it takes is time. Sometimes sin invades your life in all different ways, and usually it's the way you least expect it. For instance, a lot of you have been looking at me this whole time, and you may not have noticed that it is dark in here. The light has gone out. We have turned the lights off, and that's how it is with sin, because you don't even realize it. You're going to your job, got to work, got to make money, got to buy a car, got to buy a house, got to buy a better car, got to buy a better house. And you're fixated on that while you're being killed by the disease. You say, oh, I have this new girlfriend, and she's so great, and I just love her, and she does all these things, and we go to the movies, and it's so good. And you're fixated on that. But the sin just creeps up and gets you when you're not looking. The sin erodes it, and sin gets you. It's dark now in here. The lights were up. There was light in your life. There was life inside of you, and now it is replaced with death. The sin has taken your life gift, and it has left you with nothing. That's the disease we're talking about. If only there was a cure for such a disease. If only there was a way to fix this. Good news is, that's what I'm talking to you about today. We're talking about the cure, amen. Amen. Thank God that he made another way for us. Thank God that he didn't say, well, I gave you free will. Sucks for you, see you later. You know, that's not how it is. He made a way for us. And I'm going to tell you all about that. If you want to cure a disease, if you want to develop a serum or a vaccine, you need to find cells that are resistant to that disease. And then you need to take those cells and you need to inject them into you to help you fight it off. You need to find one host that can defeat this disease. That's, I mean, very awkward science because I'm not particularly scientific, but that's the gist of how it works. You need to find a host that can beat the disease. If you want to counteract poison that's killing you, you need to inject the antidote into you. To fight off disease and poison, the truth of the matter is that your body needs a stronger substance from outside to help you. Jesus Christ was a perfect man. He was 100% man. He was 100% God. He was a great teacher, and he was the sacrifice that was made for you on Calvary. Jesus Christ is a good place to get some antibodies for this disease. There was no sin in him. That's what it says. He was able to not sin in his life because he was God. You have to accept Jesus Christ into your life if you want to defeat the disease of sin. Plain and simple. You have to accept Jesus Christ and the free gift that he gives you if you want to defeat that sin, if you don't want to be sick anymore. Man, Jesus, the great thing about Jesus is he's not all uppity about it. He's not like, oh gosh, I had to die for you. I guess you better get better. Better take advantage of my gift. No. I'm going to tell you some scripture right now that flies right in the face of that. It says, Jesus tasted death. Hebrews 2:9 says, yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. Jesus came and died for us. Even though Jesus Christ never sinned, Christ became sin for us in our place. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. We were doomed. We had the sin that we were continually committing, whether we particularly tried to or not. And Jesus came to change that. He came to flip the game up and make things different. Jesus Christ died on the cross, and it says he became sin for us. He became sin, even though he didn't know anything about it. I mean, truthfully, he had been tempted with everything. Jesus had been tempted with everything. Hebrews 4:15 says, we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. This Jesus Christ, this man that died for you, Jesus Christ, he didn't have the disease. He was perfect. He was the host that we need to draw our life from. We need to draw our cure from. The power of the antidote of a life to live with Christ is unfathomable. Stick around Redemption Church for a little while. You'll see people who come in one way and you're like, wow, they came in that way. And then you're like hanging out and you're like, wow, that person got a whole bunch of people saved. That was cool. Remember when they were like that? Nah. The slate's wiped clean. God doesn't remember your sin either. Amen. Thank God, because I would be in trouble. Trouble, trouble, trouble. We no longer have to be sinful. We no longer have to be conformed to a life of sinful behaviors. We don't have to live under the curse of sin and death in our life. God has given us a different plan. We are no longer a creature that's dead on the inside trying to rob life from others and trying to create death. But we're a creature that we seek life, we seek love, we seek the Holy Spirit in our lives. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. By accepting Christ and coming under his leadership, by taking that role, by changing your game in your life, man, you can beat back that disease. It can be done. And when you beat back that disease, you find true health and spiritual wellness. You find Jesus Christ at the center of your life. No longer are you focused on sinful fleshly desires. You're focused on Jesus. And that's a powerful thing. Because the fact that if I focused on everything I wanted, I'd just hang out at the video game store all day. I wouldn't get a whole lot done. It would be kind of embarrassing. I'd probably have like 6 cheeseburgers. I'd be like, oh, man, I should get some video games and eat cheeseburgers. Probably have like 3 or 4 liters of Coke right next to me. If I focused on everything I wanted. But man, when I focus on God, things are different. When I focus on God, things are better, right? When I was, if you've seen my testimony video where we've talked, I really liked medicine that made you sleepy. It's my favorite thing. Because I didn't want to live life. I wanted to just cruise through it. And if I was punch drunk, if I was kind of like high on something or another, if I was like that, then people would be like, hey, you're fat. And I'd be like, yeah, all right. And I'd just be like, whatever. And then I'd go home and sleep it off. If I was like, hey, pretty girl, you want to go on a date? And she'd be like, no. I'd be like, good, I'm going to sleep. See you later. That's how it was. I didn't seek to live my life. I seek to avoid it. That was what I was trying to do. And that's no way to live your life. That's no way to live your life because God has so many better things. Last night, we had a goal youth service in the Fluid living room. And I was a little pensive. I was like, I wonder if people are really going to get down with this. I mean, we're going to sing in Chris's living room. That might be weird. I don't know. Maybe they'll like it. And man, I saw 8 kids and 10 adults singing their dadgum guts out for God. Nobody was like looking around like, oh, what's going on? I mean, everybody's just singing, and people were dancing, and there was joy that was in the room, which coincidentally I was talking about. And we see this joy that I didn't have in my life, because no matter how much I slept, it never made me happy. It just helped me to avoid things. And that goes for if you drink, that goes for if you shop, that goes for if you work. Whatever escapism, which our culture is obsessed with, by the way, whatever thing you're trying to escape into, is nothing like the life that Jesus Christ has for you in him. Not even remotely. Because the deal is that zombies, they live this hellish existence. They walk around eating stuff. That's no good. They can't even eat other zombies because they're dead. Little known fact. Ding. Everyone's going to remember that after this. They don't even eat other zombies. They have to kill things to eat them. And it's messy and it's gross. And I'm kind of freaky about like germs and messes. And ooh, it's no good. It's a hellish existence. It's bad. They live in this terrible place. And man, we can talk about hell. We can talk about hell a little bit. We can talk about the fact that there is a hellish existence, which is where we get the name for it, that's lined up for folks that aren't living right. But man, there's hell on earth too. There's hell on earth when you have to continue to put all kinds of substances in your body because of the fact that you can't find something that makes you feel better. There's hell on earth. And you could be living that hell. And it could just start with a little thing, but it'll get crazy on you real fast. That disease will creep up inside you, and before you know it, you are infected. Ugh. Man, we no longer have to have that hellish existence here or in the hereafter. Zombies live that existence where they seek life to kill, to feed the death inside of them. But we seek Christ because Christ gives us life. We seek Christ because of the fact that we're going to live forever with him in heaven. And it's going to be different than here. There won't be cheeseburgers and video games probably. But I'm imagining and I'm believing that it's going to be something that's really cool that I might not even know about. It's going to be great. And there's things in this life where sometimes I'm like, man, I'm just some guy. I hole punch stuff and send emails at work, make enough money to kind of pay the bills. I got two kids I play with, and they're fun, and I like them and stuff. And I'm always like, am I being a good parent? And it's like, well, maybe, you know, but nobody's perfect, right? That's what we say to feel better. And I look at my life, and I think, man, what's going on? But God has great things for me. God has great things for all of us. And I'm telling you right now that, man, Jesus Christ died so you could live a better life. He came that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. That's a scripture. I don't have a slide, but it's in there. You'd have life and you would have it more abundantly. You wouldn't just walk around from place to place, punch your card at work, punch your card at home, punch your card at church, punch your card wherever you go. Even recreational activities. We don't even really have that much recreation anymore. You know, we're just kind of punching our card, doing our thing. But man, God wants us to have life abundantly. He wants us to live for him. He wants for things that you could never imagine that you could do to come out of you. I sat in a room. I had a conversation with a young person the other day with two of my sponsors from youth group. They're young sponsors. And I was thinking to myself, man, this is going to be a crazy conversation because I'm probably going to have to just do a lot of talking and watch people look at me. And we got in the room, and I couldn't even say a word because my sponsor started going at it and just speaking life and light into this other kid's life. And I was like, man, when I knew them when they were 12, they didn't do that. But God has given us greater purposes. And when we seek that life, when we focus on him, we find greater things can be done through us. Christ died and came back from the dead. He didn't come back as a zombie. People make jokes like, Easter, it's Jesus Zombie Day. Ha ha, right? You hear that? Hope not. People make jokes about that. Jesus Christ did not die and come back as a zombie. He died and he came back as our Savior. He made the way. He reverse engineered the thing so that that way God's justice could continue to flow and we could still find grace. We could still find help and strength. We could still find purpose. Amen for that. We got to bury that body, right? If you got somebody that's bit by a zombie, the first thing you do is you get away from them. That's what they usually do, right? They're like, oh, we're going to die. If it comes back to life and bites us. Man, we got to repent of those dead works like we talked about last week or the week before. We got to repent of dead works, and we got to bury the old body. Stop living like zombies. The great news is in the Old Testament. If you ever read the Old Testament, people who are just coming to Christ, they're like, I'm starting at the beginning, and we're just going to do this thing for Jesus. And you're like, you might start at Mark, it's better. you know, we'll work around. We'll figure it out. We'll do a Bible study. Because if you start in the Old Testament, things were kind of harsh back then. Things were a little bit different. In the Old Testament, diseased people were forced to live outside the camp. That's the way it went. Because you couldn't have the disease come in and mess everything up. It couldn't infect the people that were in the camp. Same thing went for other religions. Same thing went for people that were not Jewish. They couldn't mix with the nation of Israel. But my God is way bigger than that. And when Jesus came back, when Jesus came to earth for us, man, his cure is so powerful that it changed the lives of anybody that got mixed up with him. Jesus Christ didn't need you to avoid people. He said, bring them to me. Bring all of them to me. I got the cure. It's inside me. I want to come into relationship with you, and I want to cure you. And so Jesus says, bring the sick. His cure for us is so powerful that if you just bring the sick, if you bring yourself, then you will see your life change and you will be cured. At Redemption Church, man, we do three things. We talk about it all service long. But man, the last thing we do is we come to the altars and we talk to God. Now, at another church, you might go to, the preacher would preach at you and he'd be like, all right, raise your hand if you're a sinner. And he'd be like, oh, and he'd be like, all right, everybody raise their hand, come down to the front, and then they'd come pray for you. Man, we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So at Redemption Church, we encourage you to worship in ways that you're comfortable. We encourage you to pursue God in ways that you're comfortable. But we take a step to the altar at the end of service, not because of the fact that we've always done it at some big tradition or anything like that. We do it because we want a physical manifestation of just taking that step, just getting closer to God. So we're going to fade the lights down, and we're just going to pray a little bit. We're going to pray a little bit, and we're going to come to this altar. It's open. Man, if you need help, if you need a cure for what you're doing in your life, you come close to this altar. If you come within 2 feet, we're going to pray for you. If you want to just pray to God.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at www.redemption-church.com and be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.